And for our reflection this afternoon, we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we'll be reading verses 46 through 52. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and said, "Call him here." So they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take courage, stand up. He is calling for you." Throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering him, Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the blind man said to him, "Rabboni, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road. The various accounts we have in the Gospels of Jesus healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out evil spirits are more than just miracle stories to fascinate us. They're expressly designed not only to illustrate the grace of God in salvation, but to generate faith in Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We know that because John, in his own Gospel, chapter 20, verses 30 to 31, says this: "Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." So they are not mere stories. They are not there for fascination. They are designed to illustrate gospel truths. And in this passage, we have a vivid illustration of how one savingly becomes a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. The account centers on a man named Bartimaeus, or son of Timaeus. That prefix, bar, is an Aramaic word which means son. So Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. I want to look at a few things concerning him. First of all, I want to look at his condition. There are various features we find in our text concerning his condition. First of all, we notice in verse 46 that he was blind. He was deprived of one of the most precious gifts, the gift of sight. Humanly speaking, he was hopelessly, incurably blind. Because you see, in the ancient world, there was no known cure for blindness. People became blind because of poor hygiene, there was just no known cure for blindness. It doesn't appear that he was born blind. How do we know that? Because verse 51, he expressed the desire to regain his sight. Second, as to his condition, not only was he blind, he was poor because he was seen sitting by the wayside begging. He was in a beggarly condition. In view of his blindness, he was incapable of working for his livelihood. He was incapable of providing for his own sustenance. He was in need of the basic necessities of life. We find here a man who was left to the mercy of those who would give to him money, however small, whenever they did. Sitting by the roadside with a little cup, he would from day to day be begging alms, fighting for survival, as it were. Not only was he blind and poor, but thirdly, it appears from the passage, he was friendless. He was blind, he was poor, he was friendless, because verse 46 tells us that as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples, that a great number of people, Bartimaeus sat by the wayside. Here was a lonely man. In contrast to this large crowd, this great number of people which was following Jesus to Jerusalem, Bartimaeus appears a lonely man. He had no friends to offer him help, no friends with whom he could share thoughts, no friends to bring him to Jesus. In fact, later on, we're going to see how that the crowds were telling him to be quiet. He had no friends because his blindness rendered him a social outcast, without sight, without money, without friends. He was really in a very, very bad way. And as we said earlier, for all intents and purposes, his situation was, humanly speaking, hopeless. His was a condition of abject misery. He was deserted. He was alienated. He was hopeless, as we can imagine he must have felt. We have here in this man then a vivid portrayal of what the sinner outside of Jesus Christ is like. In a real sense, the Word of God declares that the sinner outside of Jesus Christ similarly is blind, is poor, is totally helpless, in abject spiritual poverty. Every unsaved person, the Word of God teaches, is spiritually blind. According to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, we saw that this morning, Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, lest they should see the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. And this is a condition from which they must recover if they are to enter the kingdom of God, because unless a man is born again, said our Lord Jesus, he cannot see, let alone enter the kingdom of God. Such a person like Bartimaeus is distanced from God. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 12, the sinner outside of Christ is without hope, without God, in the world, alienated from the very life of God. And certainly that's a terrible, dreadful condition for one to be in. Well, having looked at his condition, we look secondly at his chance, his opportunity for being healed of his blindness, verses 46 and 47. Jesus, we are told, was leaving Jericho with his disciples, and what's interesting is that this was to be the last time that Jesus was passing by that way. He was on his way to Jerusalem. Where was he going? He was going to the cross. He was going to die. This would have been his last time passing through Jericho. For all intents and purposes, this was Bartimaeus' last opportunity. It was his very last chance to meet Jesus, his very, very last chance to be healed of his blindness. And we are told in verse 37 that as the crowd passed, Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. Clearly, someone must have told him what it was all about, this crowd, crowd that was passing by. They were following Jesus. Bartimaeus heard of that. We know that from Luke chapter 18, 36, 37, which says that in response to his query regarding the crowd, that he learned that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. Talk about being in the right place at the right time. Here was a real case in point. Bartimaeus was in the right place at the right time. Bartimaeus not been there at that point in time, he would doubtless have lost this opportunity to be healed. What's the point here? There's a lesson for the unconverted, and it is this, that whenever opportunities for taking and embracing Christ as Savior, Christ as Lord, such opportunities should be seized at once. Indeed, every time the gospel goes forth, every time the sinner, the unconverted, sits under the preaching of the Word of God, in a very real sense, Jesus is passing by. And here's the sobering thought. The sobering thought is this: opportunity for embracing Christ as Savior is not, are not always available, and will not always be available. Unsaved as you might be, constantly rejecting him, constantly neglecting his call, you may never have another opportunity of embracing Christ. That is why the Word of God warns, as it does, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, in a favorable time, God is speaking here. He says, I have listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. In fact, elsewhere he says this, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. We've looked at his condition, we've looked at his chance, well, let's look at his challenges. And bear in mind that every time opportunities for embracing Christ present themselves, there will always be challenges. Some people say, well, I cannot come to Christ because of this reason, because of that reason, and so I'm waiting for some convenient moment. Here's the point, there is never a convenient moment for coming to Christ. There will always be challenges, there will always be obstacles in our path. Bartimaeus sought after Christ in the face of tremendous hurdles and obstacles. Let me share with you some of these obstacles. Number one, there was the obstacle of the crowd. The crowd was in his way, and what we gather from this passage is this. This crowd was an immense crowd. Mark tells us that it was a great crowd, while Matthew records that it was a great throng. Matthew 20, verse 29. And clearly, by all accounts, for Bartimaeus to have gotten anywhere near to Jesus would have been a very tall order. Why? Because the crowd was in his way. Being blind with no one to assist him, such a massive crowd would have possibly led to his being stampeded as he attempted to get near to Christ. That was a great challenge. The crowd was a great challenge to this man coming to Christ and finding healing. And here was what the crowd did. Whatever shouts he made to Christ, whatever appeals he made were overshadowed by the noisy crowd. It was an immense crowd. That was a challenge he faced. This crowd, it was an immense crowd. But secondly, it was an indifferent crowd. It was an indifferent crowd. Because notice, though there were numerous people enjoying the privilege of Jesus' presence, yet no one took the time to get him near Jesus. He had no one to encourage him to see Christ, no one to lovingly come alongside him and help him along, get him near, anywhere near to Jesus. No one to encourage him. Bartimaeus, lift up your voice, cry for the Savior. We are here with you. We are here to stand with you. We want you to be healed. He had none of that. He had a crowd that was totally indifferent to his need. He was a loner in his desire to get near to Christ. And just consider some of the marvelous opportunities many today have of coming to Jesus. They hear the gospel, they have families, they have friends who will even cajole them, who will encourage them, who will constantly be with them. You need to come to Christ. They have friends to show them the danger of lingering outside of Christ. And yet many, despite those benefits, despite those privileges, make light of it. As far as Bartimaeus' challenge was concerned, he had to contend with an immense crowd. He had to contend with an indifferent crowd. Third, he had to contend with an intimidating crowd. It was an intimidating crowd, as suggested by verses 47 and 48, because here's what the Bible says. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Look at verse 48. Many were sternly charging him, telling him to be quiet. They told him to shut up. They told him, close your mouth. You're making too much noise in here. You're much of a distraction at this point. Hold your peace. And notice, they did not merely tell him to keep quiet. The Word of God says they sternly charged him to shut up. Instead of encouraging him, we find then that they were discouraging him. They were intimidating him. I say, let a man be serious about coming to Christ, and before you know it, he has all kinds of discouraging voices. And some of those discouraging voices, believe it or not, you know very well, they come from friends. Yes, they come from families. And let me say here, as long as you are serious and intent about coming to Christ, there will always be challenge. There will be challenge from the crowd. There will be challenge, yes, even from those who are near and dear to you. The devil and his cohorts will be relentless in their efforts to resist and discourage you. They'll come with some such arguments as you're too far gone in sin. Your life is such a wreck. You should take your time. It's too early. Why rush this thing? The world with its distracting allurements and pleasures will seek to silence a soul that is coming to Jesus Christ. Friends, yes, as we said earlier, family members will discourage, will silence you, telling you it is too soon to come to Christ. Or you can't take this business of Christianity, of religion, too seriously. His condition, we have looked at his chance for being healed, his challenge. We consider fourthly his cry. And there are some marvelous features we notice here about his cry as he appealed to the Lord Jesus. First of all, his was a persistent cry. His cry was persistent with all the rebuke, with all the chiding he received. Bartimaeus, notice, could not be silenced. Again, verse 48, many were sternly telling him to be quiet, but he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." It was futile to try to stop him. No crowd could stop him. No crowd could intimidate him. He just could not be contained. What was the key to such persistence? What was the key to such insistence from this man, Bartimaeus? Here's what it was. It was a sense of need. It was a sense of helplessness. Why are many not earnest in approaching Christ, in coming to Christ? You tell them about the need of their soul salvation. Why are they not earnest? Because they do not sense their wretchedness. They do not sense their misery before a holy and righteous God. And my friends, if you're not saved, if you could understand your condition outside of Jesus Christ, that outside of Christ, you are lost, you are cut off from the life of God, you are under the wrath of God. Yes, not when you die, but right now, you would flee to refuge to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as far as Bartimaeus was concerned, if no one else knew what it was to be blind, he certainly did. He sensed a gnawing, urgent need for his sight. Hence, he was determined that no one or nothing would stand in the way of his coming to Jesus and receiving sight. Do you know yourself to be a sinner? Do you know your condition? You're here this afternoon. You're not saved. You have never trusted Christ as Savior. Do you know in your heart the wretchedness of your condition before a righteous and holy God? Do you understand that it's only the grace of God why you are not cast from his presence? The word of God suggests that you're being held, as it were, by a slender thread. And of course, we're using imagery here. And if that thread should snap, you would be falling for all eternity in a Christless hell. And that's a scary thought. Now, sometimes persons have a sense of need. They come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. They sense their wretchedness. But what's in the way of their coming to Christ? Here it comes. They are bent on pleasing whom? The crowd. They're afraid of ridicule. They're afraid of opposition. They're afraid of offending family. They're afraid of offending friends, afraid of going contrary to the pressure of the crowd. The crowd, the crowd, the crowd. Here's what the Word of God says. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Many there are who go in, because narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. And the lesson this afternoon is this: let not the crowd stand in your way of coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bartimaeus' cry, first of all, then, was persistent. Bartimaeus' cry, secondly, was humble. It was a humble cry. Verse 47, notice, he made no demand to be cured. He appealed to Christ for help, not on the basis of any entitlement, but on the basis of sheer mercy. Notice his words in verse 47, Son of David, have pity and mercy on me. Now, he understood that Christ owed him nothing. You see, here's the point we must never lose sight of, my friends. The fact is, you and I are entitled to nothing, absolutely nothing from the hands of God, not even salvation. We are entitled to nothing. Truth is, the only thing we deserve is the wrath and judgment of God. As sinners, we are deserving of that. Hence, like Bartimaeus, we must come to him as sinners, pleading for mercy and grace. Let's consider, fifthly, then, his approach to Christ. And this is where it gets rather interesting. The question is, how did he approach Christ? How did he come to Christ? If you're to be saved, you're not saved. You're not a Christian. You're not born again. Here is how one comes to Christ. And we're going, of course, from the text. Yes, God sovereignly calls us. Yes, we are elected by his grace. But as suggested by our text here, first of all, a person comes to Christ believingly. And that's how Bartimaeus came. He came by faith. He came by sheer faith. Note the quality of his faith. Notice that because of his blindness, because he was blind, he did not have the privilege of witnessing any of Christ's miracles. But here's the point. He heard about those miracles. What does the Word of God tell us? How is faith generated? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. This man had heard reports about the mighty works, the mighty healings of Jesus, and having heard them, he did not have to witness them. He did not have to see them. He believed them. And if one is to be saved, one must look away from all else. One must look away from one's own reason. One must look away from one's own works. And one must look totally, completely, solely to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. But notice, secondly, he came not only humbly, he came hurriedly. Look at verse 50. There was a note of urgency in his response. At the call of Jesus, the Bible says, he jumped up and came to Jesus. My, can you imagine if today we preach the Word of God, persons hear the Word of God, come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and we have people jumping up to embrace Christ as Savior. That would be something else. But here's the truth. No one can do that except drawn powerfully and effectively by the grace and power of God. And the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, the Bible says they were pricked in their hearts. And the Word of God says those who received his word gladly, he says, were baptized, and so on and so forth. Bartimaeus responded with a note of urgency. Why? Because he no doubt saw the call of Jesus as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Remember what we said earlier? Jesus would never pass by this way again. Can I say something very soberingly? The sobering truth is this: The sobering truth is this. This could well be your last gospel message. This could very well be the last sermon that one hears, that you hear. If you're not saved, yes, it's a sobering thought. It's a frightening thought. So Bartimaeus realized then if ever he was to be healed, it would have to be now or never. Well, let's look lastly at his change. The change that come upon this man Bartimaeus when he met Jesus. First of all, let's look at what he rejected. We're told, verse 50, he threw aside his cloak. He threw aside his cloak. Why do you suppose he threw aside his cloak? Perhaps this cloak impeded his movement. He needed to hurry. He desperately wanted to come to Jesus. And so what he did, he got rid of the impediment. What is impeding? What is in your way of coming to Christ? What is hindering you from coming to Christ? You know what it is. If you're not saved, that thing needs to be what? Discarded. It might be some friend. It might be some habit. It might be some thing that really has to be wrenched from you by the grace of God. The fact is, Bartimaeus forsook his cloak. He cast his cloak aside. Songwriter says, lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, what he rejected, well, let's look secondly, what he received, verses 51, 52. Here the Lord Jesus made this offer to him. He says, what do you want for me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, I want to regain my sight. Jesus said to him, go, your faith has made you well. This man knew what he wanted. You see, when a person comes to Jesus Christ to be saved, it is not a question of if, it's not a question of but, it's not hit or miss. We know what it is. Why? Because the Spirit convicts of sin. We see ourselves in the presence of God. We see our sinfulness and we know exactly what we want. We need, we want the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want our spiritual sight. We want to be transformed. We want to be renewed in the image of Christ. I like the fact verse 52 tells us immediately he received his sight. His healing was what? Instantaneous. There was no ritual involved in his healing. No, there was no probationary period before his healing could be effected. Once he deposited faith in Christ, once he definitely came to Christ, Christ dealt with him, immediately he was healed. And that's exactly what takes place when we come to Christ as Savior. We do not go through processes of rituals, probations, penance. The work of salvation is efficacious. The work of salvation is powerful. It is instantaneous. Immediately, we are regenerated by the Spirit of God. Well, let's look finally at the course he adopted. The course he adopted, and that's seen in verse 52. The Bible says concerning Bartimaeus, after Jesus had pronounced him healed, immediately he regained his sight and, watch this, began following him on the road. Once he received his sight, what did he do? He began following him on the road. Here we find the constraining influence which the saving mercy and grace of God should have upon a saved soul. When a person is saved, here's the truth. We do not have to tell that person. We do not have to cajole that person. We don't have to beg that person. We don't have to wring that person's arm. That person will instinctively know by the working of God's Spirit the need to follow Jesus. I have a hard time, and I'm sure you do, of dealing with people who say, well, I'm a Christian, but they're just not following Christ. And the word of God teaches, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And part of that new life is a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ. And surely we can definitely say that when a person professes faith in Christ and when that person refuses, neglects to follow Christ, is following the world, is living in sin, then there is every reason to doubt the sincerity of that profession. No, we're not talking about perfection now. Yes, coming to Christ for some is a struggle. Coming to Christ, living for Christ can be a struggle. We know that, yes. But here's the truth. Within the heart of anyone who truly comes to Christ, even amidst failures, even amidst fallings, there will be a desire, a deep-seated desire to follow Christ. One of the things that's characteristic of the saints, we read the book of Revelation, that they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Are we following Jesus? Oh, the power of the gospel to transform, to change a life, to save a life. We see that marvelously illustrated in this man, Bartimaeus. We see his condition. We see his cure. We see his change. We see the course he adopts. And by the grace of God, if you're not saved, this is the message for you. You can be saved by the power, by the grace of God. We thank your Father for this, your truth illustrated for us here in this narrative. And we pray that those of us who are saved will come to appreciate in greater ways the marvels of your grace. May we never lose sight of where we're coming from. And for those who are not saved, we pray that you would put in their hearts such desire, such constraint to turn to the Savior and be saved. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.